So, good morning again. I realize I didn't introduce myself. Most of you know me, some do not. My name is Jackie Robb, and I'm a member of this church. And a deep bow to Reverend Amy for inviting me to lead some services during her sabbatical. I am excited, and I admit a bit nervous. Excited because as soon as Reverend Amy offered me this opportunity, the idea of a related series of sermons on a single broad topic started niggling at the back of my brain. And I love when that happens. I try not to overthink it and let whatever wants my attention to surface in its own good time. But I'm nervous because the theme that will not leave me alone, that keeps calling me with increasing urgency, is complex and it's hard to talk about. The metacrisis or polycrisis of our current times confronts me with difficult, uncomfortable questions and no answers. So to even enter this topic, I have to back up a bit. I have to come at it sideways. When I originally moved to Maine in 1974, I thought of myself as part of the Back to the Land movement. And I tell you right off, I was really bad at it. I did not succeed. And after six increasingly frustrating years, I moved on. And I know I'm speaking to some of you who came with the same intention and stayed and thrived. And to all of you who came and stayed, I bow in awe and gratitude. You've made this state the haven it is. For many of us who moved to rural Maine in the 70s, it was because we knew we were witnessing the end times. We needed to be completely self-sufficient, live minimally, need nothing from the dominant culture that was surely going to collapse any moment. 50 years on, we're still trying to come to terms with the state of our world. This particular American cultural moment, for sure, but also the crises that assault us daily, the economy of profit over care, the global authoritarian movements, our environmental breakdown, all of which contribute to increased displacement and violence. Whether you watch the news, listen to podcasts, or read long-form journalism, it's hard to know how to respond, how to live with what we know is true. It goes into the brain and hard on the heart. I've said people have called this the end times, the long dark, the great unraveling, the tomb of civilization as we know it. But I admit, while the polycrisis informs the background of my daily life, the water I swim in every day, most of the time it lives with me in the background. I rage, I grieve, but I think that if the truth of our situation lived in me fully, how would I get up in the morning? Now, I've spoken to several people about this theme ahead of time, and the responses I've gotten have, frankly, though very familiar to me, felt a bit like deflections. It was either a joking, oh, so you're going to give us the solutions, right? And we can go out of here and be done. Or earnestly, I would like to be uplifted, please. No blame or shame here. These responses have been a mirror for me. This is where I go when I feel overwhelmed. Absolutely. In times of chaos and uncertainty, we all long for solutions, and the quicker the better. And if not quick, at least something we can do to make our lives easier, if not the world better. This longing points to certain time-worn strategies that we've all used to deal with uncomfortable situations. The first is my personal go-to, the obvious problem-fixing strategy. We look for ways to fix the system, whether through political action, scientific innovation, or technological breakthroughs that will lead us out of this mess. My second favorite, the ostrich strategy. So scared we duck and keep our heads low. And we do this even though we know that ignoring our anger and our despair, ignoring any part of our full emotional range, mutes all emotions, including our capacity for joy and our capacity for seeing things differently. Another favorite, I've spent time here too, is what I call the transcendent strategy. Let me just rise above it all. I just need to meditate more, tend my garden, disassociate, living on the surface of life, because this too shall pass. Sound familiar? I've used all of them, I promise, and none of them is wrong. They just don't seem to be a complete answer for me anymore. Darn. Because in each of these strategies, I don't have to change. The answer will come from out there. This past year has been a master class for me in trying to make something better. I fell just about a year ago and have not fully recovered yet. I'm sorry to say that, Talia. A year has felt sometimes like a lifetime. And I promise I'm not going to start a whole organ recital, what my friends call the organ recital. That's what I want to say is that I tried so many different healing modalities, some of which helped and some of which made it worse. It wasn't until I was 9 months in, which actually is kind of a good time period, 9 months, that I finally said with utter frustration, the only thing I haven't done yet is nothing. Absolute rest. Now, whether rest will turn out to be the magic wand for healing, I have yet to discover. But what not doing, not searching for the perfect fix showed me was so profound that healing actually took a back seat to what I was learning. Since I was doing nothing, time opened up. It expanded for me. I had more time to see how my reaction to this fall perfectly parallels my reaction to the long dark. I also had time to visit friends. I had time to meet people on this path and speak with them, to volunteer for little things that I could do. It was remarkable. It is remarkable. It is still happening. I had been viewing my physical pain as something awful that just needed to stop now. It was my personal dark time. As I continue to rest, I become curious as to how my current situation might be seen as what Ram Dass called fierce grace, a time of change and transformation. So what can we learn from our global polycrises and our response to them? How do we change so that the great unraveling shows us the transformation we need to make? How do we change our attitude so that the tomb of civilization as we know it becomes a womb that transforms us into the midwives and stewards of a radically new way forward? Sitting still with my body's dis-ease has confronted my need for easy fixes and encouraged me to find a reverence for complexity. I've needed to move beyond feel-good certainty. I've needed to sit with paradox and grief and contradiction and suffering as necessary prerequisites to intuiting solutions. Sitting still with complexity has confronted me to shift from a transactional relationship with my body and with the world toward a more mature resonance, relationship, and humility. At first, I was basically saying to my body, okay, if I do this, you're going to heal. I am learning to ask myself, what needs to change in me so that I relate to my discomfort, my anger, my despair, not as a sign of failure, but as a portal of transformation? We are a people stumbling toward or getting pulled across a threshold, whether we want to or not, losing the world we had thought we were living in, and it is going away, and confronting the likelihood of other more terrible losses to come. That's the reality we don't want to face. It looks like disaster. It feels like initiation. It feels like initiation. So in regards to the long dark, some of the difficult questions I've been asking these days are, can I stay present with discomfort, with grief or tension without shutting down or lashing out? Can I hold complexity without demanding that it resolve quickly for my personal, physical, emotional, or spiritual relief? And more broadly, what is asked of us to be most alive and engaged right here and right now? And the thorniest question of all for me, why are we not willing to change? We know what we need to do to live more rightly on the earth. To be intimate and kind relationship with all beings, and we just can't seem to do it. Without, again, any blame or shame, what is this can't that lives in us? Can we be curious about it? Can we hold off on the blame and just look inside and go, huh, I wonder why. I wonder what's in there that needs to change. So for the next 5 months through December, I'd like us to unpack these questions together, to steep in the complexity and confusion rather than search for a quick fix, to contemplate what Susan Murphy Roshi calls the Cohen of the Earth. How do we sift through the shards of our fragmented culture and not shy away from our trauma responses to the global polycrisis, and come to live in the world in such a way that will create the world in which we want to live? Are you squirming yet? I am. I'm squirming and I'm teary almost every day. I'm at the very beginning of this contemplation, being willing to ask myself difficult questions and feel the discomfort that comes from recognizing the privilege that affords me a safety and individual freedom that many humans and more than humans do not share. I hope you join me in discomfort. Not feel shamed or blamed, but figuring out how much we're willing to see, how much we're willing to feel, how much we're willing to change. We live in potent times, what the late, great Joanna Macy called the great turning. It can look like utter destruction. But my heart tells me another world is still possible. Yes, we have the power of gods to destroy our home. But we also have the chance to become something we cannot yet imagine. And by doing so, create a future we would be proud to leave the generations yet to come. In the early 20th century, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin wrote, "The day will come when, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And on that day, for a second time in the history of the world, human beings will have discovered fire. So let's pause, not to escape, but to listen, to feel the pulse of what wants to be composted in us, to ask gently and together, what might be possible if we stopped striving to be comfortable, to be safe, to be right, and started striving to be in right relationship. May our questions contribute to the emergence of our own and our global transformation. And so it is. Swaha, amen, soham, ho.